Welcome to the Bodily Transgressions in Fantasca Media podcast series. We hope you enjoy the series. If you have any questions or comments, we invite you to attend the digital symposium, which will take place on 12th November 2022 via Zoom. The event will be free, or drop us a line on our Discord server. Details are on the podcast information or can be found at fantascajournal.com under CFB's events and news. That's Fantastica with a K. This podcast is part of Panel 3, Transformations, which will take place at 3:50 GMT time. This podcast is presented by El Plaza, who is a PhD candidate at the University of Huelva, Spain. Their research focuses on the analysis of the representation of transgender characters in contemporary British fiction written by cis female authors. Their main research interests are the demedicalization, objectification, and pathologizing of trans bodies, as well as the misrepresentations of transness in connection to class and race. Their podcast is entitled On Doctors and Transness, Medicalization and Objectification of the Transgressing Body in Winterson's Frankenstein 2019.
A course creator, what did you form a monster so hideous that even you turn from me in disgust? God, in pity, made man beautiful and alluring after his own image, but my form is a filthy type of yours, more horrid even from the very resemblance. These were the words of Frankenstein to his creator in a first attempt at self-recognition in the 1818 text by Mary Shelley. You may be asking yourself why I am quoting from a more than two centuries old text if my intention is to talk about something envisioned as completely new as it is the trans body. Well, my drawing from a 19th century text work as a first step towards understanding that trans people have always existed, under different names and with different roles and meanings in society. Still, the 19th century is a crucial date for transness as we understand it today in the West. When we picture a trans person, we do so within a Western scientific model. This means it is very hard, although not impossible, to separate a trans body from the medical discourse. Now, why is this? Western trans studies, and so our understanding of what it is to be trans, is linked to the field of sexology, a European area of study that emerged in the 19th century. In this context, Austrian cis male scientist Kraft Ebing publishes his Psychopathia Sexualis in the year 1892. He was one of the first scientists to research about people who did not identify with the sex they were assigned at birth. By interviewing hundreds of people over several years, he very much contributed to defining the fields of the so-called, at the time, abnormal sexuality and abnormal gender presentation. How did this happen? Well, he picked as a model to measure what was and was not normal a male, heterosexual and cis person. Even though he had the best of intentions at the time, since he wanted to move from a Catholic system that would level these people as sinners towards a medical system that would gain him the sympathy from trans people, he set a very dangerous precedent that labelled gay, lesbian, bi and trans people as sick, as not normal. We probably are all reaching the same conclusion now. Yes, I am afraid this stereotype found its way into the 21st century and we are still fighting it today. All the famous names came after Kraft Ebing. You may not have heard of Dr. Hirschfeld, but you probably have of the Danish artist Lili Elbe, who underwent one of the first gender affirmation surgeries at Hirschfeld's Institute. By the way, at the risk of being off-topic, the story of Lily was made into the movie The Danish Girl in 2015 and is a great example of how to center the narrative of the suffering of trans people on their cis companions instead. All in all, I want to make the point that the Western medical model has for over a century and a half and still is consistently pathologizing trans people. Not only this, but it also works for people with privilege only, as it is not fully accessible yet because it still is very expensive, and also it still focuses very much on gender that is only binary, leaving out people who identify as agender, as non-binary, or as two-spirit. And why is this important? Well, because this means that the medical model validates only trans people who want to transgress the so-called naturalness of their bodies in terms of sex assigned at birth if they do so by becoming the only other viable option. That is, for the medical system, you are only read as trans if you were assigned male at birth and wanted to transition to a prototypical female, or the other way around, if you were assigned female at birth and wanted to transition to the prototypical male. What happens then is that the extended understanding what most people have in mind today when they picture someone trans is someone who has to be read as part of the binary. And the most common way to do this is by means of medical modifications, such as gender-affirming hormone therapy or surgery, or even both. The question here is, what happens to trans people inside or outside the binary that do not want any sort of medical intervention? How can they be recognized as their preferred gender or as non-binary without gatekeeping mechanisms of Western medicine? And I will now go back to the words of Frankenstein that I shared with you just minutes ago, and I quote, "God, in pity, made man beautiful and alluring after his own image, but my form is a filthy type of yours," end of quote. Frankenstein had his body changed, altered, created, all in all controlled by a human being. What differentiates him from the trans body is that he did not choose to be brought to existence to be the way he was. He is an alteration to an already existing human body, although a dead one in his case, but he never held the power to say, "Please, Dr. Frankenstein, help me, this is who I want to be." The protagonist of Janet Winterson's Frankenstein novel, named Rye, is similar to the original character of Frankenstein in that they both have altered bodies, bodies that transgress the norms of the social construction we have come to call nature, and bodies intervened by doctors. However, we need to consider that Rye did want to make these changes in order to transition into a trans man, making a deliberate decision. Volition? Yes. But to what extent, really? In this novel, subtitled A Love Story, we are being told from the start that the transgressing protagonist, Rye, is not interested in modern Prometheuses, but in giving and receiving love. But can he really? He falls in love with Professor Wittgenstein, who praises him for being trans. This raises myriad questions, but two are key for me. First, is Rye trans for Professor Stein only because he underwent medical intervention? And second, is it really love if you love someone for their being trans and not for being themselves? Let's explore now these two questions in the novel. Let me share with you now a quote from Frankenstein, the 2019 novel, in which Rye and Victor see each other naked for the first time, and I quote, "I didn't notice Victor had come in until he stepped out of the shower. He handed me a towel, then he saw me. He saw the scars in my pecs. I watched his eyes work down my body. No pennies. I'm trans," I said. "I had top surgery about a year ago," end of quote. These couple of lines are interesting if we think of the trans body as shaped by the Western medical system. They show how Rye sees himself, how he understands his transness. He is trans because, first, he had a mastectomy, he mentions he has scars under his pecs, and second, because he has no penis. He thinks that Professor Stein would assume him having a penis since he is a masculine-presenting person. For Rye, it is then impossible to identify as trans without giving the main reason why he is trans. He's had top surgery. Medical intervention equals validation equals even existence. Victor, as a doctor, reads the signs of recognition as well as of transness of the medical system and replies, I quote, "I have never met anyone who is trans," end of quote. In fact, Professor Wittgenstein acts as a metaphor of the medical system itself. He's the one with the power to give Rye the validation he needs, and the first time he touches his body, it all seems to be a sort of medical examination charged with sexual energy. I quote again. He moved nearer. He wrung his long fingers down my forehead over my nose, parted my lips and brought my two front teeth, pulled down my lower lip, passing over my non-existent Adam's apple. Then he spread his hand, thumb and fingers on either side of my collarbone, as though he was scanning me. End of quote. Like a human scanner, Professor Stein is the male cis heterosexual embodiment of the gatekeeping role of Western medicine. He is in charge of examining, of making a decision on whether Rye's body is really a body, if it is natural at all. But we all know that for Western medicine, there are two pillars for transition. Surgical intervention is one, but access to gender-affirming hormone therapy is equally important. Unsurprisingly, our main character here ticks all the boxes when it comes to representing the perfect trans subject for the West. One that makes a big effort to pass as the other sex, in this case, as a cis male, and that for this they rely on medicine. Later in the novel, Rye will reflect upon how taking hormones is a vital part of his transness, since it is crucial to keep his male passing perfect, and I quote, "I'm trans and that means a lifetime of hormones. I keep my maleness intact with testosterone because my body knows it wasn't born the way I wanted to be." End of quote. Therefore, we have seen that the representation of the trans man that Winterson offers in her novel is one that is closely linked to the Western medical conceptualization of transness. Rye undergoes surgery and takes hormones, and only then he is able to, I quote, "keep his maleness intact," end of quote, to see himself as a trans person, really. But this is not just about the trans person validating themselves, but also about the role of the doctor and of the lover, for they're the same person in this novel, seeing the trans person as trans because of the medical procedures. Am I saying here that under no circumstances should we connect medicine and transness? That trans people who seek for medical help should not do so? Absolutely not. What I am trying to do here is to highlight the fight of society with help of the medical system, and in this case in the form of best-selling fiction, is contributing to normalizing and spreading a fiction that only allows trans people who would undergo medical intervention to be validated as trans. This could very well be just another representation of the trans body as one that is medicalized, but Winterson goes a step beyond that and puts the fact that Rye decided to have medical control under his body to make this the center of Victor Stein's attraction towards him. Rye and Victor have a very toxic relationship that is not based on love at all, but on Victor's obsession over Rye's trans body. This is fetishization. This is someone feeling attraction towards another person for just this one reason, and this reason is not only them being trans, but them having had the will of medically altering their bodies. How does Winterson introduce, justifies really, if you ask me, a character with such behavior? Well, by presenting Professor Victor Stein as an artificial intelligence and transhumanist enthusiast. His devoted interest in a body medically intervened to be improved is seen as a parallel to a trans person medically intervening their body. Whatever the reason is, however, Victor does feel attracted to Rye for his medically trans body. Let me read this short passage for you. This is Victor talking to Rye now, and I quote, "And you, Rye, gorgeous boy slash girl, whatever you are, you had a sex change. You chose to intervene in your own evolution. You accelerated your portfolio of possibilities. That attracts me. How could it not? You are both exotic and real. The here and now on a harbinger of the future." End of quote. At least one thing we can say of Professor Stein is that he is very clear. He is lacking all possible empathy at this very moment, sharing with his longtime partner that he feels very attracted to him because he had a sex change, not to mention the outdated terminology to talk about gender-affirming surgery in a book published only less than 3 years ago. Notice as well how the character plainly decides to use the word exotic, which says a lot about the obvious level of fetishization of the trans character. We're reaching the end of this reflection now, so I'd like to wrap up sharing some thoughts. Winter Song locates a story of fetishization around medicalized trans bodies within a dystopian present, for the novel is set during the Brexit years, using artificial intelligence and transhumanism to justify a terrible behavior that has been there for a long time now, that trans bodies are not loved, but they are used as exotic sexual objects. After all, this novel offers a representation of a couple whose relationship relies on the trans person being trans in a medical Western sense. Frankenstein, published in 2019, only helps in crossing an already long list of cultural products that represent trans people as subjects who always need medical intervention in order to gain validation. Not only this, but the author uses transness as a main motif for a cis person to feel attracted to a trans person. And it all connects in a vicious circle of trans equals medicine, attraction equals trans, because it equals medical advancement. I would like to conclude now rewriting Richardson's ending of the novel, and I picture right in my mind, finally realizing Professor Stein is not in love with him, but using him for his transness. I picture him confronting the doctor, maybe above the village of Chamonix, using Frankenstein's words as if they were his. And I quote, "If I cannot inspire love, I will cause fear. Beware, for I am fearless and therefore powerful." End of quote. Let's be fearless, let's be powerful. Thank you very much for listening.